This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
David Morgan with you with the weekly perspective for the week ending September 15th, 2017. Well, first up from Zero Hedge, the most important chart in the world is getting uglier by the day. Chart of the U.S. dollar, and if you're just listening on the podcast, that's fine. 94 was basically a level, and that had turned huge support for the dollar for over the last couple of years. It penetrated that recently, and we're currently sitting about 91.5, 91.8. And this is very important for the U.S. dollar and where it's going. There isn't a lot of support for a very long time after it breached the 94 level. And I do believe we are going to see lower dollar prices ahead. However, we're probably due for a small term bounce here for a while, and we'll probably see a little bit of pressure on gold short term. Nonetheless, this is big news for those that believe in technical work for the future of the U.S. dollar. To quote some of this article, bold and underlined, put simply, this chart is telling us that the U.S. dollar is going to be collapsing in the coming months. The implications of this are going to be tremendous for the financial system. U.S. corporate profits will be increasing, particularly for large multinational companies. Emerging markets will outperform. Second article up. Same from Zero Hedge again, 97 million American workers are living paycheck to paycheck. As we've noted for time and time again, the number of Americans scraping by with almost no money in their savings account is staggeringly high and growing. As Motley Fool pointed out in a recent post, the St. Louis Federal Reserve admitted the personal savings rate in June 2017 was a measly 3.8%, or $3.80 for every $100 earned. With the median household income in the U.S. just north of $50,000, that would amount to about $4,000 per year. Obviously, I've said many times and others that the middle class is basically getting wiped out in the United States and basically globally. It's turning into a two-class system, the elite and everyone else, and the trend doesn't seem to be abating at any time soon. The only real hedge against this in the longer term, in my view, are assets that are real value, which is, of course, hard assets, which would be the precious metals. Mining shares is a subset of that. Any of the energy sector that are making money are highly profitable. And, of course, real estate if it's bought at the right time. Next, looking at the debt markets, the bond market, Steve St. Angelo over at SRS Rocco did a great article. He does several that are very good. Title of this one is U.S. Government Massive One-Day Debt Increase Impact on Interest Expense. And what he talks about in this article, I won't read the whole thing, but basically interest rates are a very low percentage, as we all know, about 2.2%. And what that means is that the United States is able to service its debt, in other words, make the interest payment on the debt. But he goes a step further, and this is something that I've looked at in the past and a few have commented on. He asked the questions, well, what would happen if interest rates were allowed to rise and got back to an interest rate of, say, 5%, which is kind of standard interest rate for treasuries across the board, U.S., of course, being the number one debtor in the world. And what he states, and this is a fact, it's just a simple math problem. There's no way the U.S. government would allow interest rates to rise. It's already dealing with $566 billion deficit for the first 10 months of 2017. If interest rates were typically 5%, that would push the U.S. interest payment up above $1 trillion. Remember, that's interest alone at 5% on the current outstanding debt of $20 trillion. This would more than double the budget deficit, which is roughly $1.1 trillion. So this is a great in-your-face that interest rates really are not going to go much higher. In fact, they may not go any higher than they already are. And all this ties together because at some point, not only will those that are in the know or awake about the financial structure of the system, but other banks, entities, managed money, nation states, etc., will try to remove themselves more and more from the dollar and seek areas where they can have protection. And there aren't that many areas really that you can circumvent a tie to the dollar in one way, shape, or form. And this is, of course, something that I've been commenting on with others for years. But every day that goes by, it seems more and more are becoming awake to the fact that this printing wealth doesn't work, it won't work, it can't work, and that the dollar's trajectory to the downside is not only occurring now, but may accelerate in the not too distant future. And before going into the precious metals markets, I can't let the commentary go by without discussing the equity markets. This is from Charles Hugh Smith, who always does a great job. And he writes, yes, this time it is different, but not in good ways. The rallying cry, he's talking about the equity markets, the rallying cry of the perma bulls is this time it's different. That's absolutely true, but it isn't bullish. It's technically terribly bearish. Why is this time it's different bearish going forward? The answer is that nothing is structurally broken that hasn't all actually been fixed. Nothing that's structurally broken has actually been fixed, and the policy fixes have fatally weakened the global financial system. And I won't read the whole article, but he goes on to say, central banks have purchased roughly $2 trillion in assets in 2017. In other words, all markets go up by buying pressure or selling pressure. Central banks have pumped in $2 trillion. That's going to make the market move up, and it has. He goes on to say, as virtually everyone knows who follows finance, these monumental purchases have pushed bond yields, interest rates lower, stocks higher, while super low mortgage rates have inflated a new global housing bubble. That's now bigger than the previous bubble that burst under devastating consequences. He's referring, of course, to 2008. This time is also different in the unprecedented misallocation of labor markets, worker skills, productivity, and wage growth. As he has mentioned many times, wage growth is the essential foundation for self-sustaining economic expansion based on purchases funded by debt. And I already went over an article about how worn out and torn down the average American middle-class person is. And of course, to restate that, it's also a global phenomenon. And looking a bit at the agriculturals this week, Grower Group says that Irma, Hurricane Irma, caused 50 to 70% citrus loss in portions of South Florida. Expect orange juice prices to go higher over the short to medium term. And onward into the precious metals. Last week, I took the whole 10 minutes to talk about the yuan oil trade and being gold connected. However, I learned more information this week, and I spoke to Rory over at the Daily Coin at length. And what I want to point out is I may have made an error. Everything I said fundamentally, if that were to take place, would certainly have an impact over the medium to longer term. However, what I learned this week, and I must report to you, admitting I may be wrong here, or probably am, is that both Kuz Jensen, who we've had on the Morgan Report Mastermind series, and Louis Carmesano, Louis, of Small Gold, explained, and both these guys independently reached out to the author of the original article and never heard back. The original article appeared in the Nikkei Asian Review, and the first article captured most of the attention. And this basically, I'll call it a rumor or an unsubstantiated piece written by an individual that admitted both to Kuz and to Lewis that he didn't have any insight other than he wrote it off the cuff. In other words, this whole thing has exploded across the internet, especially in the gold community. And yet, if you dig deep enough and check the source, the original source, we may have something to clarify in the future. I don't want to say much more. I'll certainly admit when I'm wrong. It looks like I could be in this case. I will elaborate here just a little bit longer. So Kuz goes on to explain that he did get a text back from this gentleman because the journalist in question from the Nikkei Asian Review confirmed to him that he used no official sources on the oil benchmark backed by gold story. I understand from Rory that Small Gold did the same thing and got a similar reply. And lastly, as Rory puts in this article, as you can read, Kuz is not saying that the information is wrong. He's explaining that the whole premise of the article makes no sense and is unsubstantiated. For this reason, we all want to question what's really going on here. So I'll stand on that with an update, and let me move on to the silver market. And finally, in silver news, this is on plata.com.mx, Hugo Salinas Price's website. This is written by Guillermo Barbera, who is translates the Morgan Report into Spanish, and he adds his own commentary. So it's his report, but I contribute to it every month. Moving on, the Mexican Congress debates the monetization of the Libertad silver ounce. On September 13th, I, which means Guillermo, participated in the forum for the promotion of savings by Mexicans, organized by the group of Savings by the People, who are members of basically the congressmen of the Mexican federal government. The fact that this meeting took place at the seat of the legislative houses of the Mexican Republic is extraordinary news, because there are a few things so important for the development of the national economy and the economy of Mexican families as their savings. According to a poll taken by the National Poll regarding financial participation in 2015, 32% of the population saves informally. There are very little options to them to save outside of hard cash or in a bank. And before I go on, you might want to use a search engine and read about this. It's been going on for a very long time, this possible remonetization of the silver Libertad alongside the peso. So if you don't understand what I'm about to read here, you'll have to do a little study on your own. But basically, it's a way to remonetize silver for the Mexican people. And its presentation is actually quite logical. But the way it works, and I'll continue reading here, is today, for example, at the present rate of exchange and the present price of silver, the Mexican silver ounce is worth 320 pesos. Now, suppose the proposal requires an overprice of 10%. In that case, Banco Mexico's monetary quote for the Libertad would be 352 pesos. If the price of silver should plunge tomorrow to 250 pesos to the ounce, for an example, the Mexican Central Bank would keep the monetary value of the Libertad stable. In that way, savers would not lose, and the silver coin would remain in circulation. As a matter of fact, all the coins that we carry around in our pockets are also worth less as plain metal than their stamped nominal value. And the metal is worth more than the stamp value of the coins. They go out of circulation and are replaced by cheaper coins. Gershom's Law, we all know. On the other hand, if the price of silver should shoot upward, Banco Mexico would have to issue new higher quotes for the Libertad silver ounce to be established by law. And in this way, the coin would remain in circulation. So basically, it's based on a weight of silver, and the nominal price is set. And if silver goes up, it is reset under certain parameters. I hope this makes sense. If not, you can Google it. And it's a very efficient way to put silver back in the form of money alongside the peso. Where this goes, no one knows. As I've said, it's been attempted a few times in several years, and nothing's come about. But here it is again. It won't go away. So I do like the proposal, and we'll have to wait and see what the outcome is. That's it for the end of this weekly perspective. I'll be back with you next week.
This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.